give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy.
The times have changed quite a bit, and now most women can get their own carriages or bicycles, if they like. But when it comes to marriage prospects, looks like money still plays a part. Marriage rates are dropping in the United States. They're at a 150-year low, in fact. And one study from Cornell University says this is because of a shortage of economically attractive men. Yep, the lead author says many young men today have little to bring to the marriage bargain, especially as young women's educational levels on average now exceed their male suitors. Just a note, this study focused on heterosexual couples. Pauline Grosjean is a professor of economics at the University of New South Wales. Pauline, welcome.
Hi.
Why are there more economically unattractive single men than women in the marriage market?
Yes, I think there's really two factors behind this that have been shown in the literature. So one thing that happened in the last few years is that jobs in the manufacturing sectors in Western economies, so in particular the US, have been declining. One of the impacts of the GFC is that it has affected manufacturing jobs, which are traditionally masculine jobs more. So in fact, men's employment have suffered more from the GFC. And so these guys are now unemployed and so are not very attractive marriage partners, if you want. And then in parallel to this, we've had education levels for women rising over the years. Women don't necessarily want to marry a guy who's less educated than them, in particular because they've got the example of, their own parents in where the things are a bit more traditional, and in general, their fathers is more educated than their mothers, and they kind of want to recreate that. And that has also been shown in the literature that there is this marriage gap for educated women, if you want.
We also know that, of course, divorce rates are up, and if the man has been married before, does that play a part in making him economically unattractive? Because clearly, often men in that situation are supporting their past family, child support, all of that.
Yeah, so, for sure, an unemployed man who refuses to, one of the problems as well is that the things don't look good for these guys, because actually most of the job growth is coming from what we now call pink collar jobs. So in nursing, taking care of old people. And so as we age, these are the kind of jobs that are being created. And so these guys don't want to take it because of gender norms that they might hold. So, if you think about an unemployed divorcee, well, maybe he's not the most attractive marriage partner for sure.
And why does economics matter? If the women are educated and highly skilled themselves, what about, elephant in the room? I know it's about like a marriage. Love?
Love is apparently, looking at the data, it does seem that other things than love play a role. So, for example, if you look at the data, it's quite interesting to see that as soon as the woman starts making a little bit more than the man, then her probability of marriage just goes down, but also her probability of getting a divorce goes up. Some people have called that the Oscar effect. So even stars, when they get an Oscar, tends to be followed up by a divorce. So I'm not sure, I let you judge the role of the respective roles of love and economic factors, but for sure, there is plenty of evidence that gender norms bear heavily on who marries whom, who gets married, and then even once you're married, who does what? So who works, who does the job in the house? And there's also evidence that if you don't conform to these gender norms, this come with a psychological cost. And in particular, it can end up in divorce. It's not very good for couple harmony when you break up from gender norms and what you expect from your education, the example of your parents, etc.
Is the situation similar here in Australia too?
Well, so it's interesting because I've done some work on the example of Australia, and maybe that's because I came from another country where things were a bit different. But I show that in Australia, there is one thing is that there used to be very heavily male bias sex ratios in the past. So there used to be a lot of men around, and that came from convictism because there was a lot more male convicts than female convicts. But it also came because free migrants were in disproportionately male. And so I do show that in areas of Australia where you had more male by a sex ratio, so when the number of male was much, so much higher than the number of female, we do observe very conservative gender roles today. And so I don't necessarily mean sexism. I really mean conservative gender roles regarding the division of labor. So who works outside the house and who does the housework? And so if you put that in perspective, and then secondarily also, I'm also showing in the working paper that in those areas, men have really strong masculinity norms. And in particular, we show that there is more specialization of men in traditionally male occupation. So if you combine all this and, you think that traditionally male occupations in manufacturing or construction are disproportionately hit by a potential recession or, import competition with China. And if you combine this with conservative gender norms, then, we might be looking at the divorce crisis in those gender conservative areas, because really the source of the job growth is really in this pink collar sector, and women are actually doing much better in those jobs. So if you see, more women getting educated and more women making money, there's also, work that shows that that's not so much a big deal. If you're not a sexist, and you can adapt to these new norms. But if you have very conservative gender norms, this is going to be a situation very hard to adapt to.
So should we expect this trend to continue?
So that's interesting, right? So, we might think that it is costly, if you want, psychologically for a married couple when the woman makes more money than the man. And there is a lot of studies that show that, the probability that they get a divorce goes up, but also how much these women do inside the house is actually bigger. So they won't, they need to act wife, so to speak. But at some point, there are going to be a point in which it will become attractive to have a wife that actually makes money. And so maybe these women, if you want this marriage gap for skilled and independent women, financially independent women, will go down. And there's evidence that this is actually kind of happening in Scandinavia, in the US and Canada. But this is going to be very much moderated by the strength of gender norms. So, in areas where the gender norms are not as progressive as Scandinavia, you don't really see that happening. And so, how we are going to adjust really depends on our gender norms. And these are inherited from past events. So say, the male convict sex ratios, or people have shown even going back further, like the use of the plow in the Neolithic revolution. So the problem is that gender norms don't adapt as fast as the economy. And so we might see this disequilibria lasting for a while longer.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Pauline Grosjean is a professor of economics at the University of New South Wales.